Most of you that are here with us all the time know that I've been going through the book of Mark, and we'll see how that goes. I say that because I just see a lot of, not repetition necessarily, but there's a lot of sameness as far as the healings go. There's a lot of healing that takes place in the book of Mark. And I don't think we ever should become immune to the fact that Jesus heals. And just there's nothing wrong with having lots and lots of messages about that. But we'll see. I may not go straight through is what I'm saying. But today's passage is one that I've actually preached in the past. It's been quite a few years ago. And, you know, just last week we talked about healing because there was a man who was demon-possessed. And as soon as Jesus said the word, the demon left him. He healed him. And then as soon as the word got out that says that the whole city, this was Capernaum, brought their sick and their demon-possessed to Jesus to be healed. And today's passage takes place the following day. And we're going to be looking today at Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 45, and we're going to see some more healing going on. So I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now, if you've been with us from the beginning, we started Mark back in March, and we're not even through the first chapter yet, so that's just kind of telling you how it's going to go. But the idea is that in according to the book of Mark, yesterday was the first day of Jesus' ministry. It's when he called his first four disciples, and where he, again, did much healing, and people were becoming familiar with him and coming to see him. So here it is, after the very first day of his ministry, and he's taught and he's healed many people. But here again it says that he arose before daylight and went to a solitary place to pray. Now, I don't know how Jesus would have reacted to this, but it was one of those things where he'd been working very hard. And even though it wasn't like putting up hay or something like that, it was still hard work. And it's hard work to minister to people. And yet, instead of sleeping in the next day because he'd had a rough day, he arose very early the next day. And I said in the first service, and I need to kind of change it a little bit, I guess, because I used to have a hard time, or Ramona did, dragging some of our kids, not all of them, out of bed in the morning when it was time for school. And I don't know if any of you who are parents have ever gone through that. You know, it's time to get up, and you know, that kind of stuff. And they just don't want to respond. And what I used to tell them was the problem they had was they slept too late on the weekends. And what they would do is they would sleep, and all of them did this, they would sleep much longer on weekends than they did during the week. And I would tell them, and I don't have any scientific basis for this, but I'd say, what's going on in your body is you've slept a whole night, a whole day, and now you're working on the next day, and you have to get up in the middle of that. That's why you're tired, because you haven't got that second whole day's sleep in. And I'm surprised they didn't just say, well, I'll stay in bed till 4 then, you know. But anyway, the idea is that Jesus had worked very hard that day before, and yet he still arose before daylight, and he still went out to pray. And I think that's something that we all kind of need to hang on to, the idea that we need to take time to get away and to pray and to spend time with the Father. Well, anyway, we see here in verses 35 and 6 that the disciples were looking for him. He'd gone out away from them, and they're hunting all over the place for him. And in verse 37, it says, when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. And it kind of gives the idea about, what are you doing? Why aren't you out here where people can find you? The thing of it was, though, that the people who were looking for him were people who probably had opportunity the day before in Capernaum to come to Jesus, to bring their needs to Jesus. And maybe they didn't quite believe it until they saw that the lepers that had been healed were still healed, and the demon-possessed men that were the demons were driven from still don't have any demons. And now they say, okay, let's go to Jesus. You might remember last week that I'd said something about seek the Lord while he may be found. And that comes to us from Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, where it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And I said something about that gives the implication that there's coming a time when you're not going to be able to seek the Lord, whether it be because he's moved on to another town, or in most cases, because we've lost our chance, we've lost our opportunity. Jesus was available to the people of Capernaum, but not everybody took advantage of him being there, physically being there with them that day, and not everyone believed. Now, they come to him. Verse 38, but he said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Well, if Jesus had been just a man, just an average everyday guy like you and me, he might have been pleased that people were looking for him. He was obviously popular there in that place, and it might have been flattering to think, well, everybody wants to see me here. But he was not merely a man. He was also God. And he knew that it was necessary that he carry the same message and carry the same healings to other places. He'd been to Capernaum, and now it's time to move on somewhere else. I want you to know this, that at the end of this service, there will be an invitation, a time for you to make a decision for Christ, a time for you to come to know him as your personal Savior, maybe just a time to pray. And there will be an invitation issued. And I really believe this. There are some here who will never hear that invitation again, whether because they never go to church again, maybe they won't be around to hear another invitation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And that's true for each and every one of us, each and every Sunday. And each and every day, we need to seek the Lord while he may be found. When Jesus did go on to the next town, he continued healing, and he continued casting out demons, just like it told us here in the passage. And of course, just like where he had been before in Capernaum, the word got out. The word got out that Jesus could heal, and many people in need of healing either came to him or were brought to him. Now in verse 40, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Well, leprosy is something that most of us don't have to worry too much about today. It's kind of like measles. We didn't used to have to worry about that either, but it seems like it's making a comeback. But today, it's not nearly the death sentence that it used to be, because we do have lots of different ways to treat it, and it's fairly simple to treat. Leprosy is contagious, but from what I've read, it says it takes extended contact. It's not just like, you know, grabbing the card at Walmart that somebody's touched or anything like that. It takes extended contact, living with someone, for example, in order to catch the leprosy. But if you were found to have leprosy, you were banished from the city. You had to go outside the city walls. Almost all the cities at that time had walls around them. And whenever someone was diagnosed with leprosy, they had to go outside that wall, no protection out there whatsoever. And you had to wear torn clothing, which is a symbol of mourning. You had to wear clothing that was obviously torn and ripped so that people could see that. I read one thing that says you couldn't even comb your hair. And I'm not sure what the purpose was there, but just again, so people would know there's something wrong with this guy or this gal. And the other thing that you also had to do was that any time you came into contact or risked coming into contact with someone on the road, you had to cry out, "Unclean!" so that they would hear and see that you were unclean, that you were a leper. Leprosy generally started with just a small dot on the skin, just one little place. And then you would go to the priest and he would examine it, and there's all kinds of rules and regulations about that. But what often happened then was that it spread. And the extremities were the things that were most often affected, the fingers, the toes, the nose, the ears, things like that, the extremities. And what would happen is that leprosy killed the ability to sense things in your fingers. You couldn't feel things. You could touch a hot stove and not know it. You could smash your thumb with a hammer and not even realize that there was pain involved. And so as a result of that, many people lost their fingers or their toes and other parts because of the leprosy. The Bible spends a lot of time, chapters 13 and 14, for the most part of Leviticus, are devoted to dealing with leprosy. What you have to do if you become leprous, what you must do, and the offerings that you've got to give if you're healed of leprosy. And why do they spend so much time? Why did God spend so much time on this one disease? I think at least partly because leprosy is a metaphor for sin. It's something that symbolizes sin. Sin often starts as just a small spot, something that maybe doesn't seem like it's too big of a deal just yet, and yet it spreads. Sin spreads. Sin takes a hold of us and changes us. Sin desensitizes us, just like the fingers in leprosy. And the idea is that, you know, people who commit sin, all of us who commit sin, get to the point where, well, we've done it for so long, it just isn't that big of a deal anymore. And what I want you to think about is, almost all of us can recognize this, things that used to be, without question, wrong, sinful, have become acceptable, have become justifiable, have even, in some cases, become praiseworthy in the eyes of the world. Sin is still sin, even though we may have become desensitized to it. Sin keeps us outside the city gates, just like leprosy did. As long as we are enslaved to sin, we cannot be in God's presence, which means that we cannot be allowed into heaven if we are sinners, if we continue in our sin. No matter how good we might have been, no matter how many good deeds we may have done, those who are still in their sin are banished forever from heaven. But still, Jesus offers the miracle of healing, the healing touch for sin, as well as in all other things, because all other illnesses. For the leper to have walked into Jesus' presence was something of a miracle all by itself. Because I want you to notice, he came right up to Jesus in this passage, just walked right up to him and said, "You can make me clean if you're willing." He didn't cry out unclean. He didn't say, "I'm a leper, you got to stay away from me." He walked right up to him and he knelt before Jesus and he begged him to make him clean. The leper had something that defiled him, something that made him unclean. And if the leprosy was not cured, it would eventually lead to his death. In reality, all of us were either exactly in that position, or maybe still are, if our sin sickness has not yet been cured. And if we continue in that sin sickness, it will eventually lead to eternal death. One of the key phrases in verse 40 is this. The leper said to Jesus, "If you are willing." And I hope it's obvious to all of us that Jesus is indeed willing to offer us the cure for our sin sickness. 2 Peter 3:9 that was read to you earlier says, "The Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It's Jesus' desire that we all come to repentance. He died for each one of us, and we have the opportunity to be healed of our sin sickness, and He is willing to heal, but we do have to ask. His reaction to the leper in verse 41. "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to the man, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" Now, we're talking a lot about miracles that Jesus performed. This is definitely one of them. Anytime that you see a deathly sickness cured, it qualifies as a miracle. But again, the real miracle is when Jesus removes the stain of sin and enables one who was formerly unclean because of sin to be cleansed and to be welcomed into the presence of God. Jewish law, which is found in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Leviticus, and it was handed down by God. God inspired, the Holy Spirit inspired that to be written, and they were very strict about cleanliness. If you touched a dead body of any kind, I mean any kind, a dead animal or anything like that, you were made unclean. And you had to go through all kinds of actual and ritualistic cleansing. Now, for me and you, if we touch a dead carcass of an animal, we're going to go home and wash our hands. But that's not all that this was about. It's not just physical cleaning. It's ritualistic cleaning. You had to clean. You had to offer sacrifices and things of that nature. Even normal bodily functions could make you unclean. And certainly, illnesses like leprosy could make you unclean. Wasn't just a matter of, you know, getting little Germ-X out of the bathroom and rubbing on your hands. You had to go into much more detail than that. Being unclean meant that you couldn't participate in normal worship. And for a Jew, normal worship was normal life. That's what they were supposed to do. And they couldn't participate in it if they were unclean. Jesus, however, could make even the most unclean person cleansed of their sin, cleansed of their illness. But the opposite was also true. If a leper who is unclean came into contact with anybody, he made them unclean. And what happens here? Jesus touched him. Jesus touched the one who was absolutely considered to be unclean, which would have made Jesus unclean as well. He was moved with compassion for this man, which means that he cared about him. He cared about his unclean condition. He cared about the unclean condition of each and every one of us before we were saved. He cares about you. But here's the deal. If God himself handed down the rule that said if you touch something vile or unclean, you are also made unclean, how could Jesus just ignore that law? Well, first of all, he was God. He was there when the law was made. He's part of the law. And he can't be made unclean. But secondly, he wasn't just ignoring the law. He was fulfilling it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now, the law was there, and it was given to us by God so that we would have a guideline, so that we would have a path to follow. Now, Jesus is that path. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Still, though, touching the leper would have made him unclean in the eyes of those who might have observed it, and there were people who were observing this, because everywhere Jesus went, there were people with him. But he said to this man, he said, "I am willing to clean you." And then he said, "Be cleansed." Verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately, Mark's favorite word, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So touching an unclean leper makes you unclean. Touching and healing a leper, however, made that leper no longer unclean. We said earlier that God cannot and will not be in the presence of someone unclean because of their sin, but the touch of Jesus cleanses us and makes us no longer unclean. So then he's able to be in our presence. It's important to notice that the faith of the leper was great. He approached Jesus, first of all, which was not allowed to approach someone, but he had faith that Jesus would do something miraculous, and he did. The leper stated with full confidence that he believed Jesus could make him clean. You and I must approach Jesus with that same faith and that same confidence, that whatever it is we ask of him, he is able and he's willing. The leper probably heard that Jesus was coming to town, and he probably had heard, remember, this is just the second day, but he'd probably already heard about the things that had taken place in Capernaum the day before. But he also might have thought this: I am too unclean to come into the presence of Jesus. I've heard this a lot of times over the last several years as a pastor. You invite someone to come to church, you invite somebody to come to know Jesus, and they'll say something like this: well, I'll come to church, but first I got to clean up my act a little bit. And people will say something like, well, I got to quit drinking, or I got to quit smoking, or I got to quit this, or I got to quit that. I've got to clean myself up before I present myself to Jesus. And I want you to know, we can't do that. We cannot clean ourselves up. We've got to trust Jesus to do the cleansing, just as this man did. I've read that people saying, well, I got to clean myself up before I go to church, that's a lot like somebody cutting off their leg with a chainsaw and then saying, well, when it stops hurting, I'll go to the doctor, or when it stops bleeding, or something like that. You cannot heal yourself of that, and we cannot heal ourselves of our sin sickness. In verses 43 and 44, Jesus tells the leper to tell no one what had happened. And to show that the law was still significant, Jesus told him to go show himself to the priest, as outlined in Leviticus, and to offer the appropriate sacrifices as commanded in the law. The law still applied. This is still early in Jesus' ministry, and he didn't want the crowds coming for healing when he still had much preaching to do. Healing of sickness is one thing, but preaching to heal of sin is quite another. But still, later in the book of Acts, we see Peter and John, who were forbidden to speak the name of Jesus by the authorities. They said, we'll let you go. We're going to beat you, but then we're going to let you go. Do not say the name of Jesus anymore. And what they said was this in Acts 4:20. We cannot help but speak of the things that we have seen. We've got to tell. That's what they said. And this man who had been healed of leprosy, who had been cleansed, couldn't keep it quiet. Verse 45, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. That's why he didn't want him to tell, because he couldn't even enter the city anymore without being surrounded. Well, the leper was told not to tell, and yet he did. You and I are told to go and tell, and yet we don't. It's amazing how we just can't seem to follow instructions. The news of this particular healing made everybody want to see Jesus, so much so that it was difficult for him to even move around. And then he goes outside the city to deserted places, and it says he was still swamped with people who wanted to see him. Don't forget, Jesus' instruction to us is to go and tell. His instruction to that man was not to tell, but for us it's different. I just would pray that you and I could be so excited to tell people about Jesus, to tell people what Jesus has done in our lives, to tell people of the miracles that he's performed in our lives, that we would proclaim it freely and spread the matter so that people would desire to come to Jesus, whether in the city or in the deserted places. And just like Peter and John, and just like the leper, I pray that we could not help but speak of the things that Jesus has done in our lives. We've all seen the miracles that Jesus does in our lives. And if you've not seen one, I just got to remind you, being cured of our sin sickness so that we can have the opportunity to enter heaven with Jesus eternally, that is a miracle. And if you've not seen any other, I pray that you've seen that one. If you've not seen that one yet, I pray this is the day. Today would be the day that you turn your life over to him and you allow him to cleanse you, to touch you, and to cleanse you as he did with this leper. If you've never done that, this could be, truly could be, the last opportunity for you to hear that, hear the truth, and to accept it. And I pray that if anybody is here today without Jesus, this is the day. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity to gather in your house today. I thank you so much, Lord, for the cleansing that you offer us, the healing touch that you desire to give to each one of us. I pray, Lord, if there be one here today who's never done that, this is the day for them to accept you as their Lord and Savior. But Lord, for each of the rest of us, I pray that we hear these words. Go and tell. Tell others what Jesus has done in our lives. And Lord, if we can't think of anything, I just pray that you'd reveal to us the things that you've done in our lives so that we might be able to tell, might be able to testify of the great and wondrous Jesus Christ who has the power to cleanse us from all sin. I just thank you for the chance to be here today. Thank you for each one that's come out. Pray that you'd bless them and encourage them in all things. And I just pray this now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.